A very good evening to you all, and welcome to our evening service of worship this morning.
Our prayers and our worship were all geared towards thanking God for our lives and for his grace upon us and for all that he has given us. So this evening, we will continue with that theme. Our call to worship tonight is from Psalm 104, the verses 1 to 15. Praise the Lord, my soul. O Lord, my God, how great you are. You are clothed with majesty and glory. You cover yourself with light. You have spread out the heavens like a tent and built your home on the waters above. You use the clouds as your chariot and ride on the wings of the wind. You use the winds as your messengers and flashes of lightning as your servants. You have set the earth firmly on its foundations, and it will never be moved. You placed the ocean over it like a rope, and the water covered the mountains. When you rebuked the waters, they fled. They rushed away when they heard your shout of command. They flowed over the mountains and into the valleys to the place you had made for them. You set a boundary they can never pass to keep them from covering the earth again. You make springs flow in the valleys and rivers run between the hills. They provide water for the wild animals. There the wild donkeys quench their thirst. In the trees nearby, the birds make their nests and sing. From the sky you send rain on the hills, and the earth is filled with your blessings. You make grass grow for the cattle and plants for the human beings to use, so that they can grow their crops and produce wine to make them happy, olive oil to make them cheerful, and bread to give them strength. Let us worship God. And our first hymn tonight, we plow the fields and scatter.
Thank you. our prayer of approach. Let us pray. Willing God, creator of all that is and has been and shall be, we thank you for this glad season and this special day. You have blessed us so much. Help us to respond. We thank you for our world with all its rich and wonderful variety, for your gift of love and life, constantly being renewed by your loving hand, for all that you have made to grow and flourish around us, all that provides our food and clothing, all the bountiful resources of this astonishing planet. You have blessed us in so much. Help us to respond. We thank you. We thank you for those to whom we owe our harvest, workers on farms and in agriculture, sailors and fishermen who risk their lives on the seas, miners and engineers who help supply the raw materials for industry, scientists and technicians who develop better crops, employees in shops and factories labour to satisfy our demands. You have blessed us in so much. Help us to respond. Help us, Lord, to respond and hear us as we say together the family prayer of the church. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. Our second hymn this evening is I Will Enter His Gates with Thanksgiving in My Heart.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad.
Our first reading this evening is from the first book of Kings, chapter 17, verses 17 to 24. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" "Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have you brought tragedy also upon this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this boy's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." The second reading is from Luke chapter 7, verses 11 to 17. Jesus raises a widow's son. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Thanks be to God for these readings from his holy word. Our next hymn is "I, the Lord of Sea and Sky."
I'm not afraid.
Let us pray. Our God and our Heavenly Father, you caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant us so to hear them, read them, mark them, learn from them, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our theme for reflection this evening is don't cry. Don't cry. Crying is a part of a human emotional package. It has been defined as the shedding of tears in response to an emotional state, as differentiated from lacrimation, which is the non-emotional shedding of tears. And psychologists teach us that women are more likely to cry happy tears, with 40% admitting to shedding a tear for a good reason, something just 24% of men do. And while 64% of women admit to crying for no reason, just 3 in 10 men can say the same. But of course, we know that all of us human beings are crying people, and we cry for various reasons. We cry, for example, when somebody dies. There is nothing that makes you cry more than the death of your most loved ones. Sometimes it can incapacitate you and drive you to lifelong depression that could even cost your own life. We cry also sometimes when we ask someone out and the one says no. When you truly feel that the time has come for you to engage with somebody you really love, and after approaching that one, the next day the one comes with an answer and the answer is no. Imagine devoting your heart to someone for years and they didn't give theirs to you. It is the feeling of rejection, wasting years waiting for someone, and it just tears you down. Sometimes we also cry when we lose a friend, one who you were best friends with for several years, the one who held your hand and hugged you through tears and assuaged your pain, and then you start to fall for each other. And suddenly you just slip away from each other's grasp and head your separate ways without a choice. People also cry when they see that their loved ones love somebody else instead of them. But for all of us, most days the news is filled with tragedy and grief. There is poverty in most of the less developed countries, or even at our doorsteps or our streets, as we see people begging for food and even for money. There is war and rising factiousness in world systems and among world superpowers. And there are the corrupt and inhumane political systems which disregard the rights of compatriots and leave many people insecure. But the world seems to have been so terrible in recent months with the continuing disaster that COVID-19 is causing, forcing people out of work and leaving them helpless and unable to care for their families. forcing us to live in our homes as if we were prisoners without crimes, and claiming the lives of our loved ones in proportions that are simply disheartening. So many families have been left reeling with a deep sense of loss and disappointment and are crying. So it is comforting for all of us tonight to hear Jesus say to us, as he said to the widow of Nain, "Don't cry." Or is it? Of course, there are no words we can say that will make sense of any of our personal or communal tragedies. And we want to avoid theological cliches. We want to avoid developing a theology that seeks to defend God in the light of such horror and tragedy. We want to avoid saying anything that, in an attempt to comfort people, will only serve to bring more hurt and misunderstanding. But what we must do and want to do is only to turn to Scripture and learn that people too in biblical times lost loved ones, felt a sense of loss, and often cried. Yet they experienced the compassion of Jesus Christ and his supernatural power. The story of the death of the only son of the widow of Zarephath illustrates how painful and cruel death can be, but it also illustrates the compassion of our merciful Father. This woman had only one son. She had been so generous to the prophet Elijah. She surrendered the last meal that she had kept for herself and her only son in a time of drought. The miracle of multiplication and abundance for the woman was in response to her generosity towards the prophet. The bowl will not run out of flour or the jar run out of oil before the day that I, the Lord, send rain. But even though she now had enough to eat with her only son, death snatched the boy from her, and she was in deep despair, blaming the prophet for being unkind to her, despite her kindness to him. The boy was her only hope, and he was gone. In the Gospel of Luke, we find a similar story. A large crowd gathered in Nain following the untimely death of a young man. The whole town had come out to mourn and stand in solidarity with the boy's mother. The grief was tangible because the boy who had died was the woman's only son, and her anguish was compounded with the reality that with his death, the family name would come to an end, and her own future as a widow was now unsure. Where would she live? Who would care for her? This untimely death had quite literally destroyed her world. There was only confusion and darkness and even despair in her life. Then Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Master, came through the gate of the town, and having perceived what had happened, our Lord was moved to act. He always does. He touched the coffin in which the boy was laid and ordered him to rise up. Immediately, the dead boy was awakened and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, each one of us have come to worship this night with our own personal histories, and each one of us undoubtedly carries with us pain and suffering and a sense of loss because of a loved one who has passed away at some point. Our personal histories and bereavements are sacred spaces, a journey where we have walked with God and often experienced what we have thought is the absence of God in our lives and in our trying circumstances. But you know, friend, if you compared your troubles or challenges with those of others, you would surely find that there are those whose troubles make yours look like minor inconveniences. So let me now suggest to you that the key essence of our lessons this night can be captured in the words of Jesus Christ at Luke 7:13. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." And the reason you don't need to cry is because you always have the compassion of Jesus with you and the support of the community. So there are 2 points from our text this night. The first is the compassion of Jesus. The passage of Luke reminds us of the heart of compassion that God has for each one of us when we suffer. Jesus Christ genuinely suffered with the woman when he saw the depth of her anguish and he sought to wipe her tears. Jesus Christ doesn't just feel sorry for us when we hurt. He is moved with compassion to suffer with us because when we hurt, God hurts. "Don't cry," Jesus Christ says to the woman. "Don't cry." Perhaps that sounds like a weak response to one who has recently lost a loved one. But I believe when Jesus said, "Don't cry," he was saying that the woman had no cause to weep. But that doesn't seem to make sense because she had reasons to cry. Her son had just died. However, Jesus had a different perspective in mind. He was encouraging the grieving woman to see this moment of suffering on a broader horizon, one that includes eternity. Because in Revelation 21, we are told of the new heaven and the new earth, or New Jerusalem. We are told that God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And so Jesus Christ, as a foretaste of that heavenly reality, says to the widow, "Don't cry." Yes, she is sad in the present context, but in the context of eternity, God will wipe away every tear from her eyes and bring her to heaven where there is no more mourning, no more sorrow, no more struggle, no more death. It is the compassion of Jesus. And now, secondly and finally, Christians form a network of support for each other and for the world. We are in the world for each other, to provide encouragement, support, comfort, and to walk together through our most difficult times. And when one member of the family suffers, the whole family is affected and suffers too. That is what we see in Luke chapter 7. We are told that the community was in mourning. So it is no accident that Jesus walks into the middle of the community to work his miracle of resurrection. Just as the woman celebrated the return of her lost son, so the community celebrated the healing presence of God in their midst. They glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." Notice the crowd did not say God has looked favorably on the widow's son or on the widow, but God has looked favorably on his people. They knew that a miracle performed for an individual in their midst was a miracle for the whole community. Dear friends, we need to remember that when we suffer, when we struggle, when we find life difficult, we are not alone. We have God with us, but we also have each other. a family who need to stand with us, and we need to extend a hand of support to others elsewhere. So we think of our generosity towards others on this day of harvest thanksgiving. The harvest appeal from Christian Aid is about showing compassion and extending solidarity to people who are less fortunate. Think of the millions of excluded people in India who face a life of poverty and prejudice. A new project and donations can break down barriers and offer them a lifeline. Organic farming gives them a sustainable way of life. It means that healthcare, education, and a better future for their children is guaranteed. So Harvest Thanksgiving encourages us to reflect on the ways in which God nurtures us through the abundant provisions in creation and to support others. All over the world, people are working to build a more sustainable future for themselves, but we need to stand with one another and to make our season of harvest a season for change in the life of somebody. And so, friends, we must not be afraid or embarrassed or ashamed to tell one another of the difficulties we face and to ask for prayers and to rely on one another to give the strength we need to get through difficulties in life. Our God is a God of the individual. Our God is a God of the community. God stands with our church family, and God stands with us as individuals. And to those of you, friends, who are hurting for any reason or who are even crying, Jesus Christ says, don't cry. God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. And he has given you a family who will be with you and will support you. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the compassion we see displayed so spontaneously in Jesus Christ and for our sense of compassion for one another. We are so glad that you are full to overflowing with such compassion and that you call us to be compassionate. Increase our faith in your love and compassion and help us to be filled with your compassion also and to support each other, especially in time of need. For in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our next hymn, Morning Has Broken.
Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Springing,
We come now to our prayers of dedication and our prayers for others and for ourselves. Let us pray. Eternal God, we thank you that you allow us to work hand in hand with you, nurturing and gathering in the fruitfulness of your creation. Help us to recognize the responsibility that involves, and so to be faithful and humble stewards of all that you have given. May our lives, our words, our deeds offer to you our joyful praise and heartfelt worship. Over and over, you have blessed us, and we thank you in the name of Jesus. Loving God, there are times when we look at people's lives and find it hard to believe that things could ever change for the better. We see them racked by illness, weighed down by anxiety, tormented by depression, crippled by debt, broken by alcohol, destroyed by drugs, scarred by bereavement, shattered through employment. And we wonder what their prospects really are. What realistic hope can we offer them? What help can we possibly give? Transforming God, may our light shine where there is darkness. We pray for those people known to us now, each struggling with their own particular burdens, family, friends, and members of our church, colleagues at work, neighbours and acquaintances. And also, Lord, for countless people unknown to us. Transforming God, may your light shine where there is darkness. We pray for our world, for those many people who face suffering, injustice, hardship, and death. Reach out to all those in despair, we pray, all who long for change but see only hopelessness stretching out before them. Touch their lives and bring hope, help, healing, and wholeness. Transforming God, may our light shine where there is darkness. Loving God, it is sometimes hard to believe the world around us can ever change for the better. We see countries broken by war, people consumed by hate, thousands living in fear, nations turned against nations, multitudes made homeless by disaster, continents facing economic ruin and famine. And again, we wonder what the prospects really are. What hope can anyone offer? What help can possibly be given? Transforming God, may your light shine where there is darkness. Help us to see beneath the surface, recognizing that you are at work and that things can change. Help us to see beyond appearances, recognizing that you are a God able to transform even the most hopeless of situations. Give us and to all people the assurance that there is no one in no situation unable to be touched by your power. Transforming God, may your light shine where there is darkness. This prayer we ask in the name of the one who came to transform us all, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We now affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. A final hymn, let us with a gladsome mind praise the Lord, for he is kind.
Let us with a gladsome mind praise the Lord who is so kind.
peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord grant to us a quiet night and a perfect end. Amen.